Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You are listening to The Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I'm going to empower you and teach you how to live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine ministry, science, and spirituality to reveal the steps you need to let go of your perceived limitations. Have you had the limiting self-talk over and over? Have you noticed you allow your fears to hold you back? If you're truly ready for change, I invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, and start your journey of transformation now. Welcome to the Tracy L. Clark Show. I'm your host, Tracy L. And the number one question that I get is, how do you stay on your spiritual path? You know, it's a tough one sometimes because we're bombarded with so much information and so many things that sometimes we feel that, okay, I meditated this week, that kept me on my spiritual path, or what you might have a different name for it. But basically, how do I stay connected to the God consciousness? Because when we're connected to the God consciousness, that's how you start to create, that's how you start to manifest. And that's one of the big things that I get all the time. That's why a lot of times the law of attraction doesn't work for people. We're going to get a little bit more into that today. You know, we're waiting for our guest, David Young, and we may have had some communication errors there. So I'm going to actually, we'll see if we get him, if he does come on. And if not, I want to actually lead into a little bit of what we were going to talk about with him and see what happens. It just happens and we're live, so we go with the flow. So I do know that it's easy to get distracted and it's really easy to operate from the brain, the subconscious, which means your brain really keeps you safe. And that's what it does. And I want to ask you to open your paradigm, your thought process today on what are you willing to change? And if we're not willing to expand our awareness, then it's really hard to create change in our life. So I'm known as a body regeneration specialist or a body whisperer, and that's why I created the body regeneration method. And having to learn to understand what it meant to have connection into my body, what it meant to connect to the God consciousness, and what were the patterns that I was letting go allow me to restore, regenerate, and repair my own body, which led into the TLC Community of Extraordinary Living, and really help you understand how you can go from that unhappy and unhealthy. You know what? It's really, really interesting how that makes a transition in our world and how when you really start to connect that we can make a massive change. But again, as I said, it's so important that you learn to step out of your paradigm. It's so important that you learn to expand into new thoughts. And that's why I'm so excited. We found David. There he is. I'm so excited to bring him in today because not only have you heard his music, I'm sure you have as a dual flutist, a beautiful, if you have been in the healing realm, if you have been in even massages, I've gone for massages and heard his music, beautiful, transformational. And again, like I was saying, of stepping out of your paradigm, and I'm so thrilled that we have David, because I actually said this morning, guys, if you wonder about creation and hitting into new vibrations, hitting into a new world, I even said this morning to one of my groups, I was so disappointed that I hadn't received the book, the actual physical book. And I will tell you, 5 minutes before I jumped on the show today, the book showed up at my door. It wasn't supposed to even come for a couple more days. There was a back order. I'm in Canada. So David, I am so happy you're here today.
I'm so happy to be with you guys and so glad that I got the book to you on time. Isn't that
yeah. fun? I love how spirit works. And you know, the reason I'm so thrilled to have you with us today is, well, I have a two part. When you guys had sent the PDF and you downloaded your new book and you're known all over the world, you've Grammy winner, your music's amazing. And you have worked with so many people of transforming their lives. And I have been saying for years to my clients in speaking that I kind of have this joke. I'm like, one, have you guys had this relationship with the Christ? You make it sound like you sort of had a relationship, you broke up and it was a bad breakup. And so isolation, right? Because religion has created so much separation. And it's so time, I say it's time that we know the truth, that these are just stories passed down and that we look at holy beings very different and the interaction. And this is what's so brilliant about what you've written here and what you've channeled is when I started to read it, I'm like, oh my gosh, another person that's actually speaking. We're coming together in the world of information that you've gathered from listening to the people that you have presented your work to and all of this feedback. Tell me, how did that journey start for you? Because it's, I have to say, and I know I might sound a little all over the map here because I'm so excited. Guys, you need the hard copy of the book. Yes, I had the PDF, but you need the hard copy. You have, there's so many, I call them blessings, impartations, beauty with the writings, with the artwork, with the way you even have the ability for your music to come through. But can you just tell our listeners and the people that are viewing, what was your drive behind really getting these channelings out in this book?
Well, honestly, it really wasn't my drive. It wasn't my idea at all. I grew up Jewish. Yeah. And I started doing these meditation events in 2014 because I'd been meditating for 30 years at that point. And I didn't even know it was possible to experience what people started to share at my events. Because in my years of meditation, I'd had different levels of inner peace, depending on how long I meditated for. You know, like after 15 minutes, you get to a certain point. And then after a half hour, you get to a much deeper point, you know. But I started doing these events, and at every event I've done, and I just did my 412th event in 4 years, they're called the Portal Between Heaven and Earth. But at every one of these events, 5 or 10 or 15 people would share that they had a conversation or spiritual travel with their mom or their grandmother or a best friend from childhood who died young. And can you imagine what a shock that was to me? Because I didn't even know that was possible. I'd never had one of those experiences. Wow. These people start talking like about grandpa and everybody on the other side. And wow, I can't even believe it was like shock notes to my ears, you know? Yeah. And then after 6 months of that, about 500 people had shared these experiences. So it became a normal part of my day because I did these events 3 or 4 nights a week. And so 3 or 4 nights a week, I was hearing between 5 and 20 stories of people reconnecting with their loved ones. So you hear it that many times, it's normal. Right. And then something really, really weird happened. 3 people in one group all described seeing Jesus standing in the same spot in the room. Now, growing up in a Jewish family, besides the fact that that's like one of the most incredible sentences you ever hear in your life. What do you mean 3 people saw Jesus standing in the room? You know, so I was I was speaking with a famous channeler around that time whose name was Bob Murray when he was alive. Because he was helping me to understand why so many people were having these interdimensional experiences at my event. So I asked him if he could channel Jesus so I could find out, like, why did he come? What's up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's happening? What's the truth behind this holy being? Yes.
Yeah. And so he said, I can't guarantee it, but I'll try. And after about a minute of silence on the phone, he said, I've connected with Jesus. What do you want to ask him? My mind went blank because really, what would you ask somebody from 2,000 years ago who you think you've never met? You know, so like, where do you start that conversation? And all I could say was, wow, this is so weird because I grew up in a Jewish family. Mm-hmm. And he said, I can understand that. I grew up in a Jewish family also. Really, that was the first thing he said to me. And so that made me laugh. It made me relax and made me, it made him sound more human to me.
Yes.
You know, because he was funny and, you know, that would be like a joke. That was a good joke, you know?
That was so a very good joke. Good way to ease you in.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Perfect, you know? So yeah. I said, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Because I don't know what to believe about what I've heard about you. I also don't know what not to believe about what I've heard about you. So what do you like or what don't you like? If you're going to start a conversation with someone from 2,000 years ago, where would you start?
Yeah.
You know? And so the first thing he said was, I don't like rituals. When people do rituals, they think they're getting closer to God. But a ritual, because it's done so many times over and over again, it's not coming from the heart. It's not coming from love. And the only way we really get closer to God is through opening our heart, through love, you know?
Exactly.
And, well, I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know? And at first I thought he was talking about the Catholic Church, but then the more I thought about it, every religion has rituals that people do over and over again, you know? Then the second thing he said was, I don't like pedestals. Because when people look up to other people and put them on a high pedestal like that, the only thing they get is a stiff neck, you know? From looking
up. Oh, which I so agree.
I thought that was funny too, you know?
Yeah, good sense of humor.
Thing, yeah, the third thing he said to me, I could barely believe my ears what he said. He said, I did not create Christianity.
You know what? I want to say something. I was reading that and I have said this for so long. You gave me confirmation and I want to just pass that on to you, which was such a blessing. And I'm so glad that he reiterated that to you because I said, I have said in the students and people I work with for years and years, I said, you know what? The Christ, I could not find, I see, feel in here. I've had three near-death experiences. So I know what it's like to go on the other side. And I was like, Jesus never belonged to a church. They brought him into a church. Like I just saw him when I would tune in, I would see him just sort of walking the earth. And again, like a regular guy, kid who kicked the ball when he was growing up and all these stories kept coming. And I'm like, he didn't belong to a church. You know, they pulled him in the way I saw it. And you confirmed this with the writings. And I was so grateful because the way I kept seeing it is I'd say they brought him into the church to create a following based on the following he had, right? No different than, you know, these healers and people we see out in the world today that have followers. And, you know, they brought him in for manipulation. But I'm like, I can't find where he belonged to a church. So when I read that with you, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm not crazy from what I'm seeing because you actually got that direct message from him.
Well, they not only brought him in, they
botched him.
They dragged him in. You know
they
what
did.
I mean?
I always say we have to rebrand the Christ. We have to rebrand God back to the heart and love, not like you said, all these rituals. It's like he got a bad branding package.
Well, if you really think about it, they didn't even have churches.
Yeah,
because he was Jewish, so you would have a synagogue, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, there were temples. You know, the main religion back then was paganism.
Pagans, yes.
Which they worshipped the sun and the moon, and they had goddesses for everything. And, you know, everybody knows Jesus was Jewish, and his real name was Yeshua.
Yes.
There's never been a Jewish person named Jesus because it's not a Jewish name.
Correct.
There won't ever be a Jewish person named Jesus. And just for the record, for a little bit of clarification, because sometimes people misunderstand this, but
yes,
you know, Mother Mary was Jewish also.
Yes, yes.
I had a long argument with my mom, who's Jewish, because she kept trying to convince me that Mother Mary was Catholic. The Catholic Church didn't exist until 200 years later after stuff had happened, you know?
Yes.
And the law is whatever the mother is, that's what the child becomes. So if Jesus was Jewish, that means his mother had to be Jewish. I said, Mom, you know that. You know, everybody knows that. But the funny thing about it is the association because, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons why I call them the family. Jesus, Mary Magdalene, his wife, and Mother Mary. I call them the family because it's a lot less syllables than Jesus, Mary Magdalene, Mother Mary. You know, it's a lot of
easier.
I talk about this a lot, you know, because this is the job that I inherited here to explain and to share with people why this book came about, how it came about. And one of the things, I think a very important thing is that it's important as human beings, we like to be understood, right? Now, because of the way that whole situation manifested 2000 years ago, there's a really big, huge, tremendous misunderstanding of number one, the virgin birth, and number two, what happened? How did he disappear? You know, because, you know, the interesting thing about this is that there's a certain box. Like, let's say this is called the comfort box. And the comfort box is based on our reality. And reality is basically based on what everybody else is believing right then. Okay, so 500 years ago, reality, all the people believed that the world was flat because everybody else believed that the world was flat. That wasn't right. necessarily true. And can you imagine how long it took people to believe, oh my God, you're kidding me. Some guy named Columbus went across the ocean and came back and the world isn't flat. How many years would it take people? Can you imagine what a mind blower that must have been for people? Right? Yeah. So we all know that there are certain things that are possible biologically and chemically, and there's certain things that are not possible. So inside, let's say, the box of 2019, what people, certain people believe, certain people don't believe, but there are certain people that think that, you know, channeling, oh, that's too woo-woo for me. You know, I can't deal with that. I can't wrap my mind around it. It's out of my comfort box, you know. The fact that you can have a near-death experience, somebody who's never had a near-death experience, even though over 20 million Americans have had a near-death experience in the last 30 years that was documented by their nurse or doctor at a hospital. So it's in their medical records now. Okay. Oh, I can't hear about near-death experience. That's too woo-woo for me. Okay, sir. So that's too woo-woo for you, right? But you have no problem believing that some guy was tortured and then his body disappeared into thin air.
You know, it's like, so interesting the way you put that, because it's so true. And what I've noticed is people gravitate to what they know that's comfortable. This is why I'm always like, you got to expand out of your paradigm, out of your thought process, because exactly what you just said is so true, because they've heard it through generation after generation. So they think it must be true. So right. they don't want, and if they look outside that paradigm, they go, and I know when I woke up 16 years ago, it happened to me. Basically, I'm like, oh shit, everything I learned is a lie. Uh-oh, I got to learn new things. I got to really explore. Yeah. And that I really believe scares people, because now if you say, okay, the world was, we thought it was flat, now it's round. No. Because now their whole paradigm is rocked, because it's not right. what they thought. So for this, you know, when you look at the story of the Christ, what like their whole paradigm will get shaken, because they've built their world around all these rules and regulations and guidelines.
Right. And that's why, since the world right now in 2019 is so much more open, there's 50 million Americans doing meditation or yoga once or twice a week. Okay. The whole Oprah generation, that's us.
Yes.
And these people are on their way to their awakening. They're on the spiritual path. They're doing what they need to do to become spiritual beings so they can fulfill their destiny that each one of us has come here to do.
Yes.
Okay.
I love that you also said about this, the rituals, because I always say to people, throw your rituals in the garbage. Do what feels right and connect to your heart. I really love that you pointed that out.
Yeah, well, I didn't, you know what? He pointed it out to me.
Yeah. So anyway,
I really wasn't thinking of, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah. So, especially to the Christ. No. Okay.
Yeah. I don't want him to think I'm stealing his lines or credit for his stuff, you know. But so then 2 weeks after that experience happened, where he explained to me what he liked and what he didn't like. Well, he explained to me, those were the three things he didn't like. What he said he liked, he said he really loved speaking in public. He really loved talking to people, getting them to think, you know, opening their minds and, you know, giving them that little thing like, wow, really? Giving people those aha moments, you know? So 2 weeks later, I was sharing this with one of my friends, and the way this was all orchestrated, because all these cool spiritual things that happen in your lives, they're orchestrated from above, okay? Yes. The way this was all set up was this friend of mine had just finished reading a book that was supposedly channeled by Jesus through the writer. And those exact words were in the book. See, you see how perfect that was? So this way I could get that validation as well. Yeah. And she could also get that validation. And ever since that happened, which was, I think, about 3.5 years ago, there have been 5 other people who have come to my events. When I shared that story, 5 other people raised their hands and said, hey, you know, I had a channeling experience with Jesus. He told me the same thing. Now, it's really obvious why he would tell the same thing to so many people. Yeah. It's because this is what he wants people to understand and know about him, because unfortunately, he is the most misunderstood, misrepresented man in the history of the world. Now, I always say at every one of my events, Jesus is the most misunderstood, misrepresented man in the world. And I did this event in Pennsylvania last year, and I forgot to say that. And somebody came up to me at the end of the event and said, you know, you were talking about Jesus and, you know, I channeled him once. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know, I am the most misunderstood, misrepresented man in the world. That's called evidential channeling. That's when there's evidence, when there's more than one person who gets the exact same message. That's what my book is about. That's why it says that on the cover.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it's really important because as we're shifting so much right now and in this beautiful, beautiful time of old paradigms collapsing, that if people really start to understand that it is all about building relationships through the heart, not rituals, not, you know, you've got to do this or you've got to say this or you got to act this way. Like that is all crumbling. And that's really what I love about this. The message is building the relationship with the Christ, building the relationship with God, building the relationship with holy beings is what it's about. It's how we're going to continue to shift into a better world of people helping people and breaking the old paradigm.
Well, honestly, there are certain, every word has a vibration to it, you know, correct. And every word makes you feel a certain way, you know, it's really, I think the more approachable you think about Jesus and Mother Mary and all of Buddha, Krishna, Moses, every one of them, right? The more approachable you make them feel in your heart, the easier it's going to be. So honestly, I would recommend people call him Jesus or his real name, Yeshua, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you call him the Christ, all of a sudden he's not a person. He's the something.
Yes.
You know, he's like something. It almost sounds like he's something bigger than you and me. And honestly, he doesn't want people to look at him like that because that creates the pedestal that makes people feel like they're not worthy. And then that's what, you know, that's been the problem the last 1800 years is because the religion made around him made people feel like they weren't worthy when that was the opposite thing that he would ever want anybody to feel.
So, yeah, his energy is so humbling. When you tune in, like it's so humbling. So you people, when you're in that form of humility, nobody, I say this a lot. People are like, do you know this guru or do you worship into? I'm like, no. I'm like, nobody's on a pedestal. It's, you want to be in that humility. And that's where what you're saying is so accurate because he was full of humility. So he wouldn't want people looking up like that.
Well, everybody who studies Buddhism learns about humility, and he studied at a Buddhist monastery in Tibet for years. For years, there was documentation that was found because this scientist went to Tibet because he had heard this rumor that Jesus was a student at this specific monastery. He went to the monastery. He got the documentation. He then took that documentation to the Vatican and said, holy cow, can you believe this? This is proof of where Jesus was during the missing years of his life. Isn't this great?
And they went, no, because we don't want anyone to even know what studying Buddhism is about. Like, we don't know. Go away.
Yeah. So, right. Because Buddhism is our competition. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, don't. Look at it, you know. That's the same competitor who I'm competing for, right? And so that document was never seen again. But one of the things that's so important about, if you want to understand him, you got to understand him as a person.
Correct.
You're not, I can guarantee you, you will never understand who he really is if you continue to read the Bible. It's just not going to happen.
Because, I totally agree.
Because that's not who he is. He doesn't talk like that. I've heard over 1,000 people who have come to my events who shared what Jesus, Mother Mary, or Mary Magdalene told them or taught them or, you know, what they experienced with them. And
100%.
Not one of those person out of the 1,000 people.
It's, you know, it's really interesting that you say that. And I know we have to go to a quick break, but because I want to pull something out of your book that I actually bookmarked that I was wanting to talk about, which actually is a great lead into this. So can you just quickly let everyone know where they can get an actual copy of your book? Because they need to have it in their hand. It's such a great vibration.
Well, you can get it on Amazon or you can get it my website, which is davidyoungmusic.com. And there's 5 versions of this book. There's the paper book that you see right there. There's an ebook that has all the beautiful paintings in the background on the ebook. Yeah. There's the audio book. And I also did the ebook and the audiobook in Spanish. I don't have the hardcover book in Spanish, but the ebook and the audiobook are in Spanish, and I'm narrating the story.
I love it. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break, and I'm just really partial to the hardcover. There is a vibration in this book that I absolutely loved when it came to the door. We're going to take a few minutes here. We'll be right back with more of David Young in just a couple of minutes.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
You said forever, you said always. Now you know things have changed and going back is not an option. It's sudden, devastating, and is like taking a leap of faith. Tune in to From Two to You, Thriving After Divorce Radio, as Sarah Lou's empowerment coach and spiritual mentor reminds you to have faith in yourself. Tune in every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific and listen as Sarah encourages you to leave negative stories in the past and move forward. We all need a friend. When I do becomes I can't. Let Sarah help as life takes you in a new direction. Leave the guilt and doubt in the past, step into the spotlight, and show the world who you are. To find out more about Sarah Lewes, visit sarahlewes.com.
If you have been struggling with fear and anxiety, you know how debilitating these emotions can be. You constantly doubt yourself. You can't make decisions and feel more and more insecure and stuck. Dr. Friedman Schaub's book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, will provide you with the insights and tools to break through these challenges. Through a step-by-step process, Dr. Schaub explains how to resolve the subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety and build a strong foundation of inner peace and confidence. Visit www.thefearandanxietysolution.com and get your copy now.
Order your copy of Dr. Friedman Schaub's The Fear and Anxiety Solution today. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com for more information.
Are you ready to consistently tap into the transcendent place where your whole being is available to you and access a higher level of ability and performance physically, cognitively, emotionally, and effectively? Then join us on ClearSpeak Talk Radio with Dr. Jeanette Wolf on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in every fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Go to JeanetteWolf.com, Quantum Body, to sign up for your whole health mentoring.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Jen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Welcome back to the Tracy L. Clark Show. I'm your host, Tracy L., and we are here with David Young and the true story of Jesus and his wife, Mary Magdalene. If you can see the video, you see I have the hard copy here. I want to encourage you. I know there's lots of audios and you can download them and PDFs, but you can buy it that way, Kindle. But I'm going to recommend you get the hardcover. I'm biased a little bit, but there is an energy in this book that's amazing. David, you know, you and I were just quickly talking on the break about how... I was just saying that stepping out of these old paradigms, and when I really heard that it's time to I would say rebrand or whatever I want to do with Jesus and getting people to understand. I've had so many people come to me and say, Tracy, I've had to leave the church. I'm needing to understand more. I want more connection. And it was even scary for me to do because there's so many paradigms out there. And I'm like, this is the message. This is where we need to go. This is how we need to start to open up to the heart to really invite these beings in.
Well, a lot of times we call these heavenly beings masters, like ascended masters, right? Now, every word has a vibration and it makes you feel a certain way about yourself when your mind hears that word. Now, the word master obviously puts somebody above you.
Yeah.
And somebody who would possibly control you. You know, we think of masters and slavery and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, so I don't like it.
The heavenly beings would prefer that we look at them like a big brother who we respect, or a big sister, or an aunt, or, you know, somebody who we have a friendship with, you know. And I think it's a lot easier. The word God has got, there's so much stuff around.
So much.
But if you think about the word goddess, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. So let's say God and goddess, let's say they have the same power. Why does it feel so much more nurturing and comforting to think of a higher being as a goddess, somebody who loves and cares for you, you know, versus a god where, gee, I don't know if he's going to hit me with lightning, or I don't know if, you know, we have all these other images, you know, oh, does he have that real gray beard? I mean, does he have to get a
god? Is he sitting in the sky waiting for me to do something wrong? And I just, why I'm like, guys, no. So many misteachings, yes.
And so the unique thing for Jesus' situation is he got dragged into something that, like, was not his intention at all. First, I think it's really important for me to explain to people how he lived, who saved him, and how the misunderstanding happened. Because I think that's when it comes down to it, that's what everybody wants to know. That's what I wanted to know. After, you know, he started appearing to these people at my events and consistently, he brought, you know, all the other ascended masters, all the archangels, everybody you can name, Buddha, Krishna, Gandhi, everyone you can think of. You had all those ascended masters and archangels have appeared to hundreds and thousands of people at my events. Okay. Now, the problem is that in this physical world, everything gets compared. And everything gets separated. It's higher or lower, better or worse, all these kind of things, right? So nobody who goes to this church on this corner is ever going to walk into that temple on that other corner, because that's just not the way it works. In the same way, nobody who watches Fox News is ever going to turn on CNN, and nobody who watches CNN is ever going to turn on Fox News. So when people were asking me, well, am I afraid about what hardcore Christians are going to say about my book? I'm only promoting this book into places where people who are like-minded and open-minded like us, who are meditating and who are outside of that box, that, you know, that Christian box. I'm only trying to appeal to the 50 million Americans and all the Canadians, you know, who are of this Oprah generation, the positive-minded people who are doing yoga and meditating and living a positive life and trying to do something to make this world better.
And realizing that it is about that union in the heart and the heart vibe, and also breaking down the old paradigms, because we all look at it and go, this doesn't work. This isn't truth. I even know as a little kid, funny you're talking about churches, I used to go into all these little churches. I was just curious. I wanted to know, what are they talking about? What are they? People are like, how do you go into so many different churches? Like, what are you? I'm like, oh, I haven't even been baptized. I just think this is interesting. And there was this kind of rejection. And one of the things I want to talk about this, because I pulled it out of the book and you were talking about misinformation. And one of the words here was when with Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one gets to the Father except through me, were the complete opposite of what he was actually trying to say. And I totally love, like, as one of the examples, there's so many in here, but that's exactly because he didn't create Christianity. You went on to stay as well, which we know is truth. And that it was really about loving each other, which is where we're going back to, being kind to each other, seeing people as souls here to just contribute to the world and not get into that spirit of competition and competitiveness. And like you said, the hierarchy that we've been living in that old 3D paradigm for so long.
Yeah, well, what he would say, because he wouldn't say, I am the way and the truth and the light, because he doesn't talk like that. I've heard a thousand people, you know, explain what his vibe is. And that's not, his vibe is the opposite of that.
The people who wrote the Bible, it'd been, like I say, it's like the telephone tag, right? You know, if you sit in class and if you're a little kid and they'd say one thing, and by the time you got around 30 kids, it wasn't what the teacher originally said. You know, it's sort of like that misinformation.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And what he would say, which I put in the book over there, is that the way to the truth and the light is through loving your neighbor as yourself. Being kind to people for no reason. Yeah. You know what I mean? People you don't even know.
Yeah.
It's more important to be kind to people you don't even know, you know, because that's like a higher test.
It is. And to reach out with compassion.
Yeah.
Which again is very, it's different for people right now. I find as we go through into these new paradigms, which is loving, heart vibration, frequency. And I always see over this next 18 months, we're going to see a lot more people wake up. And what I get a lot from the people that I work with each and every day is they are wanting to form relationships. Like a lot of people say, I want to understand what and who Jesus is, but not in that old paradigm.
Well, that's why they manifested this book.
Yeah.
Right there. That's the whole thing. They wanted to create something that could show the magic that the ascended masters, you know, that the, you know, these angelic beings, if you want to call them angelic beings, and it's true, but the magic that they can manifest in our lives. And so the way they convinced me this was real was by, on a daily, weekly basis, them manifesting all of these miraculous things in my life through people at my events. And that's the way I got to experience, like, you do not have to go to a church or ever or read a Bible ever to have a relationship with Jesus, Mother Mary, or Mary Magdalene. You don't have to do that. You know, actually, if you don't do that, you'll have a better chance of feeling more approachable to them just by talking to them through the heart. And you can, just for the record, if you'd rather talk to Buddha, you can talk to him, or if you can talk to Moses or Krishna or Saint Germain, Archangel Michael, any of them. You know, it doesn't, there's no point trying to figure out who's higher or lower in this whole thing because they're all at such a high level. It's ridiculous to try to figure out, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to do that. And it's so beautiful that people can actually have these experiences. Now, I'd like to talk about near-death experiences a little bit because, you know, I do the music at the national conferences for people who've had near-death experiences. And actually, this coming weekend, this Friday and Saturday, I'll be in Orlando, Florida at the We Don't Die Expo.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And, you know, it's incredible how when people have near-death experiences, most people become more psychically aware after that experience. And up until about 20 years ago, a lot of times people weren't comfortable talking about those experiences, those heavenly experiences they had during their near-death experience, because there was a connotation, oh, you've lost your mind, you know. But, you know, when every person who goes to a meditation class, and there's 50 million Americans doing yoga or meditation every week, every one of those 50 million people is going to that yoga class, that meditation class, to try to lose their mind.
I know.
You know what I mean? Yes. Try to lose the control that your mind has on your life so you can experience your heart, your spirit, your soul. You know? So isn't it funny how, like, 30 years ago, somebody would say, have you lost your mind? Like, it was an insult, you know? But now, somebody say, have you lost your mind? Yeah, I finally did it. Wasn't it amazing?
I remember people used to say to me when I really needed to wake up or I was going to leave again. And people are like, you're crazy. You're crazy. And I started to say, I love being crazy because it's a whole lot more peaceful over here. And I'm healthy now. I'm healthy. I'm happy. So if that means I'm in the crazy camp, then I'll stay there. But again, it's like that space of disbelief, because there is so much of the paradigm that we're just here to live and pay your taxes and get a job and that's life. And now it's like, oh, that's not life. Oh, well, there's more.
I have to tell you that paradigm, this thing that you're talking about, that we're discussing, right?
Yeah.
That's gonna be gone.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Because between, 3/4 of the people who go to the Catholic Church are between 60 and 90 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So in the next 40 years, it's most likely that most of those people will have transformed from their physical self to their mm-hmm. higher self. You know, we also call that dying, you know, because it's a transformation. We go from a body made out of molecules and cells and atoms to a spiritual body that's made out of light.
Yeah.
Every one of us has a light body, and that's how we exist in the heavenly dimension, because everything is made out of light, frequency, mm-hmm. or vibration. They don't have molecules and cells and atoms that we have in this physical dimension.
Just here.
What's that?
Just here. It's just our vessel to get us through our little Earth school while we're here. Yeah.
Yeah, and the limitations that we have here in Earth school, they don't exist in the heavenly dimension. I'll show you an example of how that works, right? Like,
yeah,
I'm dropping this thing, right? We have this thing called gravity.
Yeah.
This is a law here. We get, as soon as we can walk, we've learned about gravity, right?
100%. Well,
in the heavenly dimension, they don't have gravity.
Yeah.
So that's why all the beings fly around over there, because you don't have to walk. If you have a choice between walking to a mountain or flying over to that mountain, I think I'd rather fly over there. It would be fun.
Well, that's why people are like, I want to teleport. I want to levitate. People are like, that's crazy. I'm like, that'd be more fun than just walking forever. Yeah.
Well, I want to make bumper stickers that say crazy is the new normal.
I love it. And I think it is, because that's where the expansion comes from, and peace. Like before I woke up, and a lot of people, and you hear this too, right? It's like, there's a restlessness, you know, you're depressed, you're anxious, you're sick, you're going through all this stuff. And then when you learn to connect and you learn that you can access this information, you can access these holy beings, you can access that beautiful light consciousness, bring it in through that heart, everything changes. And people go, oh, that's a miracle. I'm like, no, you just need to learn how to connect and really understand that the paradigms and training you have is not working for you anymore.
Right. It's an old mode. It's like an old pair of clothes. It's like, I'm not putting those clothes on again.
I say it's like working in I say to people, do you have a Commodore 64? And they're like, what? Some people don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, I'm aging myself. But would you work on a Commodore 64? And they're like, no. And I'm like, well, that's no different than working in these old paradigms, how slow and it's sluggish. I said, if you look at your life, you're kind of like this computer that's upgrading and moving. Don't you want to be in the latest software connection, which is moving quickly at light speed, and you get to decide what you're creating and moving through and experiencing, rather than these old viruses and programs that have been put into you for so long.
Totally. And somebody has to create a new program. And when you come out with a new concept or a new idea, people think that's crazy. You're kidding me. A man is going to walk on the moon? Really? You look up at that thing. Really? What kind of drugs are you taking to think that a man is going to find a way to get all the way, or a woman to get all the way up there?
Or how they say, you know, like, it's like there's no other life force other than Earth. I'm like, what? You don't think there's any other life force energies out there? Like, this is where it gets so narrow, but we're coming into such a beautiful space, and it really is harnessing. I think I really want our listeners to understand that that's what you're saying. It is harnessing a new relationship with Jesus. It is harnessing a new relationship with beings, and that's where you get them. That's where you get the miracles. That's where you get the blessing, and that's where you get the peace.
Absolutely. And if you think about it, the things that he was talking about, because, you know, if you look at the map of the United States or Canada, and you know, the big cities are on the coasts, you know what I mean? And there's all this culture, all these different cultures on the coast, but in the center part of the country, there's not as much culture because, you know, it's not as easy for culture to come over by boats or whatever traditionally to get there. And the United States is the same way. If you look at where he was from in Israel, in the center of Israel, where he was from Nazareth and she was from Magdala, which is the next village over.
Yeah. You know,
her name, Mary Magdalene, is because she came from the town of Magdala. And everybody was named Mary back then. That's why the Bible is so confusing.
Full of Marys.
You go to Brooklyn and you call out, hey, Tony. It's like there's 100 Tonys that are right on that corner. Which one do you mean? You know, everybody was named Mary back then. You know, Mary was kind of like mom.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I lost my train of thought. Where was I going on that?
Well, I think it's very true that when you start to, we were saying with this connection and how, you know, the culture and the spaces we get more inward in a lot of places, it's just not there. Or, you know, there's a new learning that has to happen. And it's also even, it was interesting when you were talking about then the land, like I said to somebody the other day, so we have the Prairie Provinces, which we have, Canada's big, but we don't have a lot of people, right? But we have the Prairie Provinces. I said, but you know, a long time ago, that was the ocean. People are like, what? I'm like, no, so things are changing all the time. I said, Now it's people live there, but many, many, many years ago, it was under the ocean and Newfoundland was part of where you'd see Africa. So I said, no different than how our lands are changing. We need to continue to change and evolve and understand what truth is. And I really agree with what you say, that these movements of in the religious paradigms are collapsing. You can see they're not working anymore. They're in all forms of religion. And I really am excited about that because it does bring relationship back with people and really letting them know that there is no hierarchy. It's just your connection. And you really do a good job of that in your book.
Well, thank you. Well, I think that young people, when I say young people, I mean people in their
20s. Like us. No.
Yeah. Well, I'm a young person.
I'll be 20 forever. Here we go.
these people, there were certain things that we talked about earlier that we just automatically were taught to believe, even though these things didn't make any sense. They weren't logical. They weren't common sense things. Really, like a guy just disappears like that. You know, how is that going to happen? You know, that would never happen today. Because there'd be 10 people out there with their cell phones filming it, putting it on YouTube in an hour.
Yeah.
You would see that there was a Roman soldier who was sympathetic about what was happening to Jesus. This Roman soldier was friends with Mary Magdalene because Mary Magdalene came from the wealthiest family around. Joseph of Arimathea was her dad. Wow. And so he was put in this tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, while he was having his near-death experience. Because his body has gone into shock. That's what anybody's body would do. And 100%. Now he's, you know, having a near-death experience. And so this Roman soldier let Mary Magdalene and her sister Martha into the tomb each day so she could change the bandages on his hands and on his feet and try to keep him alive. And on the third day, this Roman soldier brought a wooden cart that was covered by hay. And it was pulled by a horse. And he took Jesus' body out of the tomb, put his body in the center of the cart, covered up his body with hay. Now his body is concealed. It just looks like a wooden cart with a bunch of grass on it. Okay. Yeah. Mary Magdalene rode the horse, and that's how they escaped. Mother Mary took over guardianship of the three children they had. And they made their way all the way up to France, 2,619 miles away, to this region called Digne-les-Bains. And that's where they lived out the rest of their lives. And he lived to be 72 years old, and she lived to be in her 50s. Now, if that happened today, those 10 people would have taken videos of this Roman soldier bringing that wooden cart and the horse. And we would never have Christianity, because there's only one reason why Christianity exists. And that is because nobody knew how his body disappeared. He was obviously not walking anywhere.
No, exactly.
So if he couldn't walk, where could he possibly go? Yeah. Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary were the only two people who knew what was going on with this Roman soldier, because they had to keep it secret because he was looked at as a criminal.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So when his Jewish buddies, who later became called the apostles, when they find out his body's disappeared, that whole thing about him appearing to one of the apostles and saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you, you know, that's just a lie. He was in a coma trying to hang on to his life, you know, on the back of that cart. That's the true story of what happened. And after I shared that at Unity of Sedona, exactly what I just said, a woman raised her hand. She said, I'm the office manager at Unity of Sedona. We have a Mary Magdalene channeling discussion group once a month. And Mary Magdalene told all 15 people in our group that exact same story about the Roman soldier, the wooden cart, the hay, and the horse. And we bought every single channeled book that Jesus, Mother Mary, or Mary Magdalene has ever done. And that information is not in any book.
No, because it would, again, blow people's paradigms. And then everything that they have been worshiping is now, you know, being ripped apart because that wasn't really what happened. And it's, again, it's what I love about this is it's bringing more truth. And I believe too that it's hard for people to hear that kind of truth, right? They'd be like, what do you mean? No. Because again, it breaks an old paradigm when really he just wanted to go and live out his days and, you know, be a man, what he was, right? And it's really, I love that with your channelings, I love with your sessions, how you do bring in all that evidential information where that's where you know truth. And that's how I always say truth. You hear it over and over from different people, different sources, but the same message. And that's what's so beautiful about your message. I really want people to understand is this is the time, you can see it's now, to have this message brought forward as we continue to evolve. So without having, and I believe that's why there's been such a push around the world for a lot of people to come with the same message, because it's what's going to help people connect. It's what's going to help people change their lives and really live into this next space that we're going into right now.
Well, we all know what it feels like to be misunderstood by one person.
100%.
And if you have three or four people at your job misunderstanding you, it's like horrible. So just imagine 5 billion people misunderstanding you.
Yeah.
You know, because that's...
Well, what I love about that too is when the truth comes out even more, that we'll finally get into a place where it will bring more unity and less division for people, because you can see that, right? It brings in so much more of that togetherness and acceptance and understanding of who we are and where we're going. You know, I can't believe we're already at the top of the hour. I see the producer like, we're coming to the close. What do you want to leave our listeners with before we have to close out around your book and again, where they can get it? But what would you really like to leave everybody with today before we have to close out?
Well, all the ascended masters, they're all on the same team.
Yeah.
They work together. There are people who come to my meditations and share that Buddha and Jesus and Yogananda showed up to them. Yeah. And it was like sitting around with three buddies. It's like they're all working together. Don't think of them as being separate. They're not separate. The only thing that's separate is the churches here on earth, you know, and they all work together.
Bringing them together. And again, where can everybody get a copy of your book?
So you can get it on Amazon or you can get it at my website, which is davidyoungmusic.com.
David, I can't thank you enough for joining us. I would love to at some point have you back. I think there's so much more that we could explore. I know we're all running in busy schedules, but I am so honored that you were able to join us, and thank you, because this is a great message. I'm right there behind you. And again, it was great confirmation of where we're all going. And if everybody could get a grasp and just even, you know, listen to the book, listen to your music. It's beautiful. I have it. We all have it as being in this world for so long. But thank you so much for joining us. I wish you just a huge success on the book, and anything else that we can help let our listeners know is always greatly appreciated. Thank you for doing what you're doing and contributing into the world the way you are.
You're welcome. It's really my pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. I hope you all enjoyed this hour, and we will see you next week right back here on Transformation Talk Radio on Tracy L. Clark Show, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, for another episode to help you grow and shift into reclaiming the life you know you're meant to live. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I teach you how to live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine ministry, science, and spirituality, revealing the steps you need to transcend perceived limitations. As a remarkable leader and pioneer in my field, I, Tracy L., will provide insights energetically and the tools required to move you forward. For more information on my partnership program, check us out at tracylclark.com.